I'm not sure if this thing's on. I'm, like, really bad with gadgets. So, you guys can hear me okay? You're worse than I am with gadgets. So this is good, right? You guys, this works.
I should put this on. Yeah, thank you for praying for me. excuse me, I gave a message this morning, and I had thought that I coughed through the whole thing. But some brothers and sisters who were praying for me actually said that I didn't cough at all when I was giving the word of God. So, you know, kind of a funny thing how he does that. I would say that definitely wasn't me. Well, I thought it'd be cool to share with you this particular topic. It's very dear to me. It sounds a little bit bigger than it is. What's on the screen over there. But then Pastor Ben also shared that he's going to be going into a series of this. So hopefully this tees that up a little bit for us. Really, you could talk through almost, you know, 8 different weeks on this particular area and still not scratch the surface. And hopefully today we can get a quick picture of what's laid out for us, because our work indeed matters to God. Well, at our church, our counselors a lot of times will start with our youth group with a little icebreaker thing called an unfinished sentence. Okay, that means we kind of put something on the board and we leave the sentence incomplete, and then you guys get to finish it. Usually, we only give people like 30 seconds to think about an answer, so it forces you to start to practice your thinking, right? So I'd like to start with something like that this morning, because I was thinking about, or this afternoon, I was thinking about this one movie I watched back in the 90s, so before most of you were born, right? And it was called The Matrix. Do you guys know that movie? Okay, so some of you do, some of you have no idea. Anyways, really quickly, I don't really understand the whole movie, actually. It's just a lot of action for me. So there's this one thing where I know that they have to, they'll have a hole, kind of a data cord, plugged in the back of their head, and they lay down kind of on a barber chair, and they plug it in. It's kind of like their lifeline or their data cord. And what you do is, you know, that brings you into the Matrix. I think that's how it goes, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? So anyways, the main character in this movie, Neo, okay, that's his name, he goes down and they plug in this data cord, this USB thing. You clearly don't, right? You not know data stuff, right? But they're plugging in something to him, and they start downloading into him all the martial arts, right? And so you see the computer going like, judo, jujitsu, karate, you know, all that stuff. And you can see his eyes kind of twitching, right? You know, kind of like, you know, REM sleeping. You're like, you know, eyes are twitching. You see data going into him. And finally, he opened his eyes and goes, I know Kung Fu, right? Like, just like that, downloaded in, boom. Now you're like a black belt in Kung Fu. I don't know if Kung Fu has black belts or not. But so I thought that we can share an unfinished sentence along those lines, right? And so you don't have to answer this, but just jot it down on your piece of paper. If I could download a real skill to my life, without having to work for it at all, right? So you could just plug it in and boom, download it. This skill or profession would be what? Okay, that's what you got to write down. So that my everyday job could be doing what? Okay, I see some of you not writing today. So if I was in the high school group here, I'd be like, come on, start getting it going. You got 10 seconds left. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, you guys have something going on? Right? Anybody want to share? You don't have to. We usually don't do this on Sunday services, but anybody have anything interesting? Go ahead. I'll pick on the guys that I know.
Victor.
Oh, Victor, think quick. Someone's got to help him here. All right, Calvin, go.
I would like to be a trainer.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, great.
Right. And,
okay, go ahead.
I could download
a
life
to
my life, and it would be an FBI agent.
FBI, yes, nice.
I like that. And so that I can help people.
Help people. not to shoot people, right? You want to help people. Shoot people too, right? All right, that's awesome. That's great. So, see, because I think this exercise already begins to show us a couple things, right? One, I think it's good for us to dream a little bit, that there could be something great out there for me to do, and I could pursue that dream, right? But on the flip side, I think there's a flip side to the UFS that would show us that we want to do it quickly. And if there's a shortcut to it, right, I'd rather do it that way. My dad, you know, he's an old man, okay? I'm a pretty old guy, and my dad's old, and, you know, he got his you know, iPhone thing. And recently we found out that he downloaded this game that I don't know too much about, but you guys might. It's called Candy Crush. Right? So I don't know that game, but you guys know what I'm talking about, Candy Crush, right? I don't know even what you do on it, but he was talking to my sister, and he was like, I can't, you know, I'm on level 20, and I can't get past this. And what I learned, because I'm not a video game guy, but some of you guys might be, and if I had a chance next time, Ben could ask me to come back and preach just on the downside of video games, okay? Because I could go off on that and how that weakens us. But according to my video game friends, there are these things called cheats, right, where you can figure out how to pass a level, right? Right? Like, so if my dad wanted to get to level 21, he could actually look up and cheat his way through and just pass that level, right? And I think this shows us that a lot of times the whole mentality of working is missed, right, when we're cheating to get to the next level. Like, I don't understand why video gamers would want to find a way to cheat to get to the next level, because isn't the fun in working to get to the next level, right? But we like to just get to the next level for some reason. So I think it already begins to show us something inside of our heart, or perhaps a misunderstanding. Our understanding of work might be flipped upside down, right? So that's why I think this topic is pretty important for us. So the way we're going to look at it today is we're going to look at two kind of sections in today's message. We're going to look at one, a work from the perspective of we have to first know who we are. Okay, who we are, that's the first part. And the second, we're going to unfold this by looking at how the who we are affects how and why we work. Okay? So we got to first know who we are. And then the second is we got to find out how and why, how that affects how and why we work. Okay, so let's go to God and ask for Him to help me in this time and be with us. Lord, we are just, we're blessed by the time of music with the music team that seems like every time I come, Lord, they get better and better, and they helped me, Lord, to be drawn into Your presence this afternoon, and I thank You for that. That helped prepare my heart. And so I pray that You be with us at this time as we look into what You have in store for us. Whether we're a student or we are working for an employer right now, it doesn't matter. Lord, this has to do with our lives, so help us to see how it fits into our life today, God. We want to give You all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, you know, recently I was meeting with a group of guys, right? And I love that. Yeah, I love getting the guy time together. And some of these young guys were with me. It was kind of an interesting group. We had one guy who was a very talented athlete. Okay, he's a phenomenal basketball player. Okay, he's a total baller. All right, and some of you guys are like, yeah. But this guy could probably school anybody in this room. Okay, and then in the group we also had a very talented artist. He was a very good artist. And then we also had another guy who was very smart. He's a really good at studying. He's a really smart guy. I'm talking like top of the class, smart type guy, right? And so we're just talking about this whole thing. We're talking with a basketball player who, by the way, he is in, what is he in, guys? Eighth grade. He's in eighth grade, okay? But he's that good. And he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and conditions and trains for 3 hours before school. Okay, then he goes to school like the rest of you guys. And then after school, he plays for two teams. Okay, he'll practice twice with each team. Okay, so quick math. How many hours does he practice basketball every day? Come on, you Chinese little students. One. What? Yeah, 3 hours in the morning, 2 and 2. Yeah, how's it go? Yeah, come on. 7. Thank you. Wow, not the smartest. 7 hours of basketball he practices every day. And so we're talking about, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Like, why do you put in all that time? And his answer came out on the surface very pure. He was like, because I enjoy it, man. I love basketball. Right there, that's pure. Right? That's pure. But as we started talking a little bit more, someone asked him, so it doesn't matter if you win, right? It doesn't even matter if you win. He goes, of course it matters if I win. I don't play to lose. I practice to be good. Oh, okay. So now we're seeing it's not just that you love basketball. You love winning. And so, like, so does it matter if you are not good? Well, if I wasn't good, he said to our group, the only other thing that I like to do besides basketball is to read. And so I'd be sitting in the corner with no friends reading because they call me socially awkward. I'm socially awkward, so I wouldn't have friends. If I didn't have basketball and I wasn't good, I wouldn't have any friends. I'd be a total socially awkward person sitting in the corner reading my book, and I'd be so happy. That's pretty interesting, right? So it already begins to show us something that, perhaps the way that we're looking at work, right, on the surface, we say we enjoy it, but what is really the motivation behind why we work? And in that group, we're talking about how hard they all work to be a good artist, to be a good athlete, to be a smart student in his class, right? And one of the guys said, all this hard work anyways, I mean, it's as a result of a fall, right? I mean, God gave us work because that was a curse to us because we sinned. And I said, okay, hold on, let's back up there. Because I'm not sure if that's really what the Bible teaches us about work. Work, was it a curse or not? So we're going to look at this real quickly, and we're going to break this down in a couple of points. Work is something that is actually good. Work is a good thing. It has intrinsic value. It is good. Right? And how do we believe if that's true or not? Okay, I'm going to show you 3 points to show you that this is true, because you're not going to believe it if I say it. You're going to believe it if God has it in his word, right? So if we turn our Bibles all the way over to the first page of Scripture, we're going to see in Genesis chapter 1, and you can quote it off of memory, because a lot of you have grown up in church, right? God, what? In the beginning, God, what? Created the heavens. Okay, so we begin to see the first point that God himself is a worker. God himself is a worker, right? And so we see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Okay, so we see in the first point that God himself is a worker. That's what helps make work something good. And Jesus also said this later to the Pharisees, that my Father is working until now, and I am working. And he said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What was this in reference to? What was accomplished on the cross that we see? The work of what? The work of atonement. Salvation, right? Jesus worked. This is one reason why work is good. Work is good because God is a worker. Okay. But the second thing that we're going to see here is that work is also good because he created us in his image, right? And so if God is a worker, we too are created in his image to work, right? We see this in Genesis chapter 1:26-30. We see that God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion, let's have them rule over the fish, over the birds, and all that stuff. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And so you are ruling and subduing the earth. You're going to eat of the produce of the earth. That's all in the picture of work. And that's a good thing. Okay, so he himself is a God who is a worker, and he made us in his image as workers. And the last point is, all those verses that we read, that was in chapter 1 of Genesis. When did the fall occur? When did man sin and sin enter the picture? When did that occur? Genesis chapter 3. Very good, right? And so we know that if this was before Genesis chapter 3, even from basic reasoning, right, that work was given before the fall. Okay? So unlike one of the guys in my group who said, didn't God punish us by giving us work? No. God gave us work before the fall. Isn't that beautiful? Okay? That's what shows us that God ordained work to be good. It is a good thing. Now, some of you as students, you're thinking about working on your homework. And you might not go, how is that a good thing? Anybody like homework here? Come on. Yeah, that's right. Some of you might. But what happened to work? Because homework is hard. Being a student is not easy. Just as it's not easy to be an employee working for a company. It's not always easy. So what happened to work? Well, we'll see that sin had something to do with it. Work changed when sin entered the picture. Okay? Sin, first of all, made work hard. I'll just give you 3 points here. Okay? And to Adam, he said, okay, so this is basically after they had eaten of the one prohibition. The one prohibition that God gave was, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Of good and evil. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you in pain. And he goes on, and we see the thorns and thistles and the sweat of his face, and we see that work is now affected by sin. But I want you to know something. Did God actually curse work? Did God curse work? No, he cursed the environment. He made work hard, and he cursed the environment. Right? So our work environment is actually pretty hard. Now, that means some of you as students are thinking like, yeah, man, it's so competitive in my school. It's hard to be top of the class. Everyone's smarter than me. People who work in the workplace will say, yeah, my work environment is just there's a sin all over the place. That's as a result of the fall. Sin has corrupted our world from that time on. Right? You guys tracking with me there? Okay? So sin made work hard. What else did it do? Well, see, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were given this beautiful task to rule and subdue and eat of the fruit of the land, God was with them, right? God was with them in their work. So they had a pretty big job to do. You know, I think my daughter and I were looking at this picture, or one of the guys who was doing a PowerPoint had this corny picture. You know, people who do PowerPoint slides and have really corny pictures, you know. There's this really corny PowerPoint picture, and you see, like, Adam, and you see, like, the lion right next to him. You're like, oh, you know, it's, like, right next to him. And it's fine. It's all good, right? And you see all this produce, and you see the picture that God was with them in the garden. And the lions were just right there, and we don't have to be afraid, right? And that was the picture. God was with them to do the work. But we all know what sin did, right? We all know what sin did. Sin separated us from God. He separated the Creator God from the creation, right? So no longer was God in the work with mankind. Sin introduced that separation from Him. But for all of you in this room who are in Christ, who have placed your faith in Christ, God is once again alongside us. Amen? Okay? But we'll see that sin did separate us from being co-workers with God at that time. The third point about sin is we still have work, but God is now with us as He was with Adam and Eve in their work. And that was the point I just made. So He has redeemed the worker. Sin's effect is still on the work, which is why homework is still hard. And working in the office is still hard. but the worker, we have been redeemed. There's this great book, I don't know if Ben's going to be referring to it or not, by Doug Sherman. He has this quote. I'm not sure if you guys can see this. Again, I do PowerPoints, and it's usually really bad. When my wife does them, they're all really nice. But I don't know why I chose blue for this, but can you guys see it? It says, Christ puts the worker in right relationship with God. And Christ puts your work back in right relationship with God. And that's what God has done for us, for those of us who are in Christ. Okay? And so we have this picture, you know, with the guys as we're talking about this. And I realized that, you know, that guy who played basketball, if he wasn't good at it, what was he called? People were calling him what when he didn't play basketball? He was what? Socially awkward, right? And if he wasn't playing basketball, he would be not athletic, right? Because that's what the world does to us. The world labels us. It gives us these names. So that if you're not good at sports, you're not athletic. Or you're socially awkward. Or you're stupid. Or you're not smart. You're not good at anything. Right? What are you good at? Look at everyone else around you. They're so good at something. What are you good at? Nothing. You're ugly. You're a loser. You're a failure. And so these names, we say it sometimes like it's a joke, like, oh, that was a fail, right? That's the language that I hear at our church, like, that's a fail, or epic fail, right? And we make fun of that. But, you know, that actually cuts really deep into our hearts. Because then, if you fail, you're a failure. And some of you may even have parents who say words like this to you, and it really cuts deep into your being, right? And these guys were working so hard to overcome these names. Because they were saying, the basketball player said, well, the reason why I work so hard in this is because if I wasn't a good basketball player, I'd be socially awkward. And if I wasn't good at this, then I wouldn't be, he said the word, accepted. Right? And this artist who was in our group, a lot of times, you know, he does his art and people look at him, and he said this before, like, I don't like it when people watch me do my art. Right? Like, don't watch me. But in that group, because we got really deep that night, he said, actually, you know, how come I say that? It's not really true. I actually secretly like it when you guys watch me. I like when people watch me, especially the girls. When the girls watch me. I'm like, I don't like it when you guys watch me. And I work really hard, right, so they can watch me draw, right, to find what? Acceptance. And the same thing with a smart kid, right? He works so hard because he said, I'm not an athlete. I have like two left feet. I'm a little chubby. And I'm not good at art or anything, but I could study real hard so I could be the top of the class so people can accept me. See, these names run deep. They hurt us. They cut real deep. And this affects why and how we work. And my conclusion from this is that many times what happens to us when we're trying to fight against these names that have been given to us, we then end up working for the wrong reasons. We end up working, one, because we're afraid to fail. Or you're working so hard to constantly try to prove yourself to others. And maybe you're just working so hard to prove yourself to your parents. So you're working out of a fear of failure, or you're working to prove yourself. And both of these things are not the right reasons for us to work. You guys tracking with me? You guys with me on this? Some of you might be agreeing and nodding your heads because, yes, that's totally me. The reason why I work so hard is because I'm afraid to fail. The reason why I work so hard is because I just got to prove myself to people. you know who the master of name calling is? The enemy of God. Right? Because he too calls us names. And he too tells us who we are. He says too, you're a failure. God doesn't love you. Look at yourself. Look at the sin in your life. You say you're a follower of Christ, but look at your sin. Look at how you live your life. You're a miserable sinner. You're good for nothing. You think God loves you? Please, give me a break. You're pathetic. That's what you are. You should be ashamed of yourself. These are the names that the enemy of God gives us. Right? And that cuts deep as well. A lot of times we forget that this name caller is also called in the Bible the father of lies. Right? The father of lies. And so if sometimes we can be lied to by our friend, like if Victor lies to me, right? Like he says he's perfect, how do I believe him? Right? Because he's a good liar. And I'll believe him. But if a friend or someone on this earth can pull the wool over our eyes and deceive us, what do you think about the father of lies? He is the greatest deceiver that ever existed. Do you think that he can trick you into believing these things about yourself? You are nothing. You are absolutely nothing. And yes, sometimes that cuts into us. And so that's why it's important for us as believers, as Pastor Ben said earlier, we have to only look at the Word of God. Because the Word of God is not the lie. The Word of God is what? The truth. And so we have to stop listening to the enemy of God and listen to what God says of us. What does God say? You are my beloved. You are my adopted child. You are my child. I've brought you into my family. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are loved. You are made new. You are my workmanship. I have made you as a part of my handiwork. And that is who you are. You see, there is nothing that you can do as a child of God. There is not one sin, no matter how bad it is, that can separate you from the love of God. You know that? That is the truth. And sometimes, though, we feel that maybe because our parents, when we're bad, that they might be really angry at us, and they might withhold their love from us for just a moment. That's not the way it is. There is not one thing that you can do to diminish God's love for you if you are a child of God. There's nothing that you can do. And we think sometimes that because I've been doing this, I'm struggling with this sin, God must love me less. No, he does not. He does not love you less. That is a lie from the enemy. And you are not a miserable sinner. You are his workmanship. You are his. You are not a miserable sinner. Just because you struggle with sin does not make you a miserable sinner. Yes, you were once unworthy, but he has now made you worthy. We got to get that out of our mind. People have beaten that into us, even within the Christian world, that all I am is this miserable sinner who was saved. You once were a miserable sinner. You are no longer. Just because you sin does not mean that you are still a sinner. You are worthy because he has made you worthy. You see what God's truth does to us? It changes the way that we view ourselves. This is my identity in Christ. This is who I am. I'm not a failure. I am his beloved. And this is where we need to begin when we understand work. We need to begin to understand, what was my first point? Who we are in Christ. because who I am in Christ will affect how and why I work. Okay, and I have this little thing as I was writing these things down. I was thinking about this. This was so big to me as I'm thinking through it. And so I just wrote some words, and so just, you know, again, I don't do the PowerPoint well, so just, I'm going to read it. Okay, I am His beloved. This is like me writing for myself. I have been forgiven, and my failures cannot diminish His love for me. I am a child of God, and I am not a failure. That's my identity in Christ. He has given me work as a good thing. He has blessed work for me to do. He has blessed work. I don't have to be afraid of work or afraid to fail because He is bigger than my failures. I don't have to be afraid to try hard things because I can do hard things through His strength. That's who I am in Christ. And He has given me work as a good thing. So I can work hard and I don't have to worry. You see that? That's the implication of who I am in Christ. And once I understand in my mind who I am, that I am His beloved, then that begins to trickle into why and how I work. Okay, you guys with me so far still? All right, so that starts to lead into the second point. Right, so I'm going to give you now just three different ways, practical ways. What's my time check real quick? Like 1 minute? Okay. You tell me when, brother, because he told me I could keep going. And if I keep going, man, I could go for a long time. Okay, so I'll shoot for that. All right, so I'm going to go into just a few areas very quickly then of examples of how my identity in Christ will affect the way I do things. Okay, it'll affect my work. And the first one is, if your identity is in Christ, okay, then your ultimate boss is Jesus. That's a big deal. Your ultimate boss is not your parents who want you to study, right? Because sometimes why do our parents want us to study so hard to get a good grade? For what? So you could get into a good what? College. And then there, if you get into a good college, then you'll be able to get into a good what? Have a good job. But why do your parents want you to have a good job? So you can make a lot of what? Money. Right? So if we follow some of this train of thinking, that may not be the right way that we view our homework today. We have to understand, and this is not dishonoring our parents, we have to get it in our mind that the ultimate person that I'm studying for, the ultimate person that I'm working for, is God Himself. He's my ultimate employer. And so the equation would be, if my identity is Christ, and I'll bet you that there's a lot of you who think you're Christians here, but you may not be. Because just because you're in this room, does that make you a Christian? Okay? But if your identity is in Christ truly, and you know that I'm a child of God, then Jesus is your Lord and Master, isn't He? Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? We are slaves to Christ. Right? And if that's the case, then your ultimate employer is your Lord and Master, Jesus. You see how that works? If I am who I am in Christ, then He is my Lord and my Master. And that affects a lot of different things, right? That causes us to... I have to cut my time out to look at my notes for a second. You know, I was thinking about... I won't look at my notes. I'll share with you this picture instead. When I was working, and the first company that I worked for, it was just everything that you can see on the movies or TV about how sensationalized a workplace could be, that was where I worked. It was just a hostile working environment. There's a lot of people there that were just young, aggressive. There's a lot of, you know, everything was about wearing the power suit. We had power meetings, power lunches, power deals. Even your tie. People would look at your tie, and if it's a cheap tie, they'd be like, it's a weak tie, it's not a power tie. You got to buy like a $100 tie for it to be a power tie. Right? And that's the environment that I was at. And there was money to be made. And coming out of college and really growing in my faith, I was like a little scared. I'm like, this place is like crazy. And I'm telling my group of guys, I'm like, pray for me. I feel like I'm in this den of sin. There's like sin all around me, right? Because that's what sin has done to our work environment. It's made it sinful. Right? But I had to work through my mind that my ultimate employer is not this company. My ultimate boss is Jesus. And that freed me. It freed me to work in a way that would please God and not to have to do all their political backstabbing, play the politics in the office in order to make more money or what. Right? I didn't have to play their game. I could live for God and work hard and do it for Him. We see a lot of Old Testament pictures like this. You know, we see this in Daniel, remember? Daniel was captured by the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar, right? And sometimes we think of it as a bad situation, but it wasn't. It was a great situation. Think about it. It's like having the President of the United States say, I'm going to choose you, Calvin, to go to Harvard. I'm just going to choose you to go to Harvard. You're going to be trained for the next 4 years at Harvard. And after that, you're going to work directly for me. Oh, and by the way, you know how good I eat, right? You're only going to eat the food that I get. So all the food and the wine, the delicacies that I get, that's what you get. Good idea? Sounds good to you? Calvin says, yes. Anyone would have a problem with that? Daniel did. Why? Daniel and his friends, other young men from Israel, knew that that food that King Nebuchadnezzar ate was prepared for their pagan gods, ritualistically. And they knew that if they ate of this food, they would be compromising what God told them not to do. Right? The way that the food was prepared would be in a way that would violate God's commands. And so they said, hey, everything is fine. But where God's word draws the line, that's where I'm going to draw the line. And they said, no. We'll go through the training. We'll go through Harvard here. We'll go into your personal service. But where God draws the line, that's where we draw the line. Right? That's the heart of knowing that Jesus was his employer. Not the chief official, not King Nebuchadnezzar himself. It was God. And what happened to those men? They were shown to be 10 times better than everyone else. And over the course of 2 kings, right, you think of all the ordeals that Daniel and his friends went through. What is that? The fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. All those were times when they would not compromise their faith because God was their employer. And both of these kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, and then after him was, if I remember, King Darius, both of these kings acknowledged Daniel and his friends, their God. They could see that their God was real. You see what that does? If God is your employer, if God is who you work for, you guys with me on that? The second point will be this. If your identity is in Christ, then you can be who you are in Christ and not be afraid of the consequences. Some of you guys might be a little bit afraid of being a follower of Jesus, right? Some of you eat meals, but before you eat a meal at home or here at church, what do? You pray, right? But some of you, when you go to school and eat your lunch, do you pray? Or do you do the, oops, I dropped the Dorito chip trick like I do. Like, okay, everybody's eating. You know, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I think I need to pray. Oops, I dropped my Dorito chip. Oh, Lord, thank you for the food. So nobody knows that I actually prayed to God. I was just dropping the Dorito chip. Oh, God, thank you for the food. I wasn't praying. I was just dropping my Dorito chip because I'm ashamed of who I am in Christ. But if you know that your identity is in Christ, you don't have to be afraid of it. Which means whether you have successes or failures, it doesn't matter. You can trust God with the result if He is your Lord. Right? You can trust in Him. You can work hard and be free. Now, when I was in high school, I was not a very good student, like some of you are. But I was really good at one thing. really good at cheating. Right? I was a really good cheater. And yet when I, and so I don't even know how I made it into UCLA, all right? I don't even know how I made it in because I wasn't even that smart to begin with. I think I just slipped through, like someone didn't check. I didn't cheat on my SAT or anything like that, but I, any way that there was a cheat, I cheated a lot in high school. But when I started to grow in my faith, and I really knew who Jesus was and who I was in him, it just changed the way that I realized I needed to study. And God was teaching me, you need to learn to work hard for me. And I'm like, but God, I don't even know how to study. Everybody here in college knows how to study. People like Ben and Hannah, they're smart. They know how to study. And I'd see, like, you know, literally, I was at UCLA, and people like Ben and Hannah would be, like, studying late at night. I mean, I don't know if they actually did or not, right? But, like my friends did, or people that I knew, my friends, they'd be studying, and I'd be like, what are you studying so hard for? Now I'm going to go out. I'm going to go get a burger. I mean, seriously, I already finished my homework. I didn't know how to study. And one semester, God said, you need to work for me. And so I did. I said, God, I'm going to learn to study. I'm going to study smart, study hard. I found my little library spot. I found my perfect cafe, my tunes, what helped me to study with my friends. And I studied so hard for this one class that I knew that was important for my career. Because recruiters who interviewed me for a job later are going to be looking at this one class and my grade. And so I studied so hard, man. I studied like you never see me. I don't know what this means, study. I don't know why I'm doing this, right? But you know, I studied so hard. I was just going it. You know, I was staying up, burning the midnight oil. I was just studying so hard. And then the first midterm came around, and God was like, do you trust me? I'm like, yes, I do, God. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Do you trust me with all your heart? Yes, I do, God. Okay. Success or failure, Alex? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, God, man. I'm studying for you. It's not about the grade. It's for you. Midterm comes. Wow. It was awesome. I got that midterm back. I got a C minus. I was like, oh, man. That hurt. This is not good. You know? I'm like, oh, dude. Okay. I studied harder than I ever did in my whole life. C minus? Wow. I really thought I knew the material, too. I wasn't just not that smart. I'm like, God, that's, oh, wait a second. Do you trust me? Yes, God, I do. With all your heart, yes, Lord, with all my heart, then don't lean, right, what, on your own understanding, right? Acknowledge me, do this for me, and all your, do this. You keep studying for me, not for yourself, not for your own grade. You keep doing it for me, all right? Trust me, because success or failure, I will lead you, right? Oh, yes, Lord. Okay, get back to it. Here I am studying, doing a lot of extra homework to try to boost my grade. I'm like, okay, here final comes around. I studied so hard, man. I was like, Lord, I'm studying for her. Do you trust me? Yes, I trust you, Lord. Oh, what did I get in the, class? Right? Was it great? I got a C in the class. Oh, Lord. Do you trust me, son? My adopted, do you trust me? Yes, Lord, I trust you. Then don't lean on your own understanding. You keep working for me. And you know what happened? I was interviewing with over 10 companies. And 8 out of 10 rejected me. And God was like, do you still trust me? Yes, I do. And so I went to work for one of the companies that gave me an offer. And I don't usually like to talk about myself, but it's kind of an unbelievable story that because I try to honor God in everything that I do, I work to become, and I didn't even try to work for the money. I didn't even try to get promotions. I was running a $500 million organization in a Fortune 500 company. I was one of the youngest executives in the United States. Plus, I was Chinese. Right? Everyone else was like white and they look old and I look like a little kid. I'm like, wow, I'm running $500 million. I had hundreds of people working for me. Was that not part of God's plan? It was. It was all from that first class though, right? Trusting in him and working for him, not for the money. It was working for him. And so these verses say, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame. Have nothing evil to say about us. Show yourself to have integrity. Don't compromise on God's word. When God's word says no, you say no. That's where you draw the line. Whatever you do, I love this verse. And in the NIV it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy of His calling for you. And the third and last thing is, if your identity is in Christ, you need to go into full-time ministry. Oh, is that true? I don't know. Let's clarify that. Let me clarify this, okay? Don't go home and, you know. The reason why I want to bring this last point up, and I'll say it very quickly, is because I think that we have done this disservice. When I used to work for this global Fortune 500, and now I'm in seminary studying to become a pastor, and I've kind of been pastoring for a long time already. I just didn't know it. Because I love the Lord. I love the work. The working at the church is so hard, but for some reason I love it. No one ever says thank you to you, right? Right, Pastor Ben, but you love it. Because you guys never say thank you to them enough, okay? You guys please do say. But we don't do it for your sake. It's just because we love the people of God and we love the church. And people would say to me, you know what, Alex? Wow, it's just so impressive. You left your job as an executive to go into full-time ministry. And I'd always say, wait a second. No. I hate the phrase full-time ministry. I didn't go into full-time ministry. Man, when I was a junior in high school, when God finally transformed my heart, when I saw the depths of my sin, and I kept asking, why, God, would you love me, and why you would die for my sins, that's the day that I said, God, you could have my whole life. I wasn't thinking about becoming a pastor or a missionary, anything like that. I just said, I wanted to live for you, God. That's the day I went into full-time ministry. So I think there's a false dichotomy of what we consider as sacred versus secular. What's full-time ministry? Oh, Pastor Ben and Hannah, oh, they are the spiritual people. They do the sacred work, but oh, we are just students. Oh, I work for a company 9 to 5, so only when I go to church and do worship, now I'm doing my spiritual thing, right? I mean, whatever this is, you know, I have to play guitar, but you know, I don't play like this. I'm leading worship, now this is my spiritual service. No, everything that you do is spiritual. Everything that you do in your life, playing basketball is spiritual. All of this is your life if you are a child of God. If you have your identity in Christ, everything that you do is out of your love for the Lord. You guys with me on that? So if your identity is in Christ, then be in full-time ministry, meaning everything in your life, you're eating, you're sleeping. You sleep for the Lord then sleep well. Have a good sleep. Don't sleep too much stuff, right? But sleep well. And study hard, but keep your balance. God ordained rest too. Okay, enjoy your rest. So when you rest well. Party hard. Okay? I mean, don't write that down. Okay. And so I wanted to end with this last verse that a lot of us know. But this really frames up for me what it means that if I belong to Christ, then whatever I eat or drink or whatever I do it all to the glory of who? God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you once again for today. We don't really understand, God, how much you have transformed and redeemed everything in our life. And I pray that we would break down these walls of compartmentalization of our life, thinking that when we're spiritual is when we go to church, and when we're spiritual is when we read the Bible. Lord, help us to understand if we really belong to you, then everything that we do can be to the glory of your name. God, we want to give you praise and glory, and I thank you for the opportunity for bringing me here to be able to share with these lovely brothers and sisters. I praise you.